Good morning, everyone. I was going to call the meeting to order. We have a quorum, and if you would please stand, and we'll say the pledge. And Greg Coffin's going to volunteer to say our prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Thank you for this country that we live in, the liberties and freedoms that we have. Thank you for allowing us to meet openly and have discussions. I ask that you would give us guidance and help in all our troubles that we may have. Pray for all our public officials and all the first responders that put their life on the line every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rick. So with the quorum, the judge is not here today. I didn't say that, but I guess everybody saw that. I went for the minutes. We'll move to number four, which will be public comments. Then I have Gerald Dieter.
Thank you, Mark and commissioners. There's an image on San Jacinto County that I would like to change. There's also an image on Commissioner's Court that I would like to see changed. And it begins with full transparency. One of the things that we lack transparency on, it is the county's website, for instance. I don't know how many of you have taken a look at it lately, but for instance, the upcoming meeting on Monday of this coming week, the most important facet of it is the budget meeting and also the notice of the raises. And guess where it is? It's not right out where you can see it. You have to really almost be an attorney to find it, because it's under another category that the general public would not normally be able to see. And like our agendas, for instance, the agendas on the website are very difficult to locate. What I'd like to see is when certain things are done here at Commissioner's Court, like the items 6 and 7, the considered approval of claims. That's where European bills that have been incurred. And I think that as taxpayers, and we deserve to know in advance what those bills are. When I say in advance, I'm told that this information eventually is put up on the website. But at the time that this is discussed, and I guess some time ago, this used to be done. And for some reason or another, you got away from it. The other thing is, consider approval of budget amendments and revenue certificates. That's another thing that needs to be open to the public. In other counties, when you look at what they are doing, they're fully transparent and open. And I would like to see Commissioner's Court fully transparent and open and in these items. I'm kind of tired of the old cliche, that's the way things are done in San Jacinto County. We need to improve upon the image of San Jacinto County, because it's not going to be long, and you all know that we're on the verge of substantial growth, and we want to attract people to our county, but we want them to have the right opinion, and you can make the difference, and we would appreciate it as taxpayers knowing more than we know now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Next, I have Raymond Coffin.
Thank you, Commissioners and Judge Pro Tem. So, what I'd like to talk about today is I'm a firm believer in looking at history and seeing how history has affected us and trying to learn from that. And I've heard the judge before tell me, well, this is always the way we did it, you know, this is always the way it was done. But then I've also heard from other people that that wasn't necessarily the case. And so an example of that, I gave you a handout here, and it's from 1995. And in 1995, Robert Smith, or some people call him Bob Smith, was elected as the judge. And right before he was elected, the county commissioners had a meeting on December 21st, 1994, as an emergency meeting, and gave themselves a salary increase. And if you look back at the law that was in place, which is pretty much exactly the same, I think some tiny wording has changed a little bit, and that's under section 152.013, you can't set your salary in an emergency meeting. It has to be, you have to set your salary in a regular meeting. It can't be in a emergency meeting or a meeting about the budget. It has to be in a regular meeting, the same way as setting the tax rate. Set the tax rate in a regular meeting with regular notice. And they didn't do that. But the interesting thing about this was, it was this Judge Smith discovered this discrepancy after he took office. And then a few months later, in February, and then he sent notice to the treasurer, Miss Everett at the time, and told her to stop paying it, and as a matter of fact, they had to withdraw money, take money back from all the elected officials. Okay? And that was under the opinion of then Criminal District Attorney Robert Hill Trapp. So what I'm pointing out to you is you know, I've pointed out in the past and several meetings that y'all didn't quite follow the law. I could have just sat over there, not said anything, but and waited 6 months down the road and said, hey, they didn't do it right. You got to take all that money back. But I was being kind about by giving you notice that you were doing things wrong. I'm not the villain here. I'm just trying to help try to make things more transparent, as Mr. Dieter said. And anyway, if you'll read the packet, you'll also find out that elected officials are different than employees. So if you sit up here and say, we're going to give employees $1,000 raise, that doesn't mean that every elected official gets $1,000 raise. Y'all set those specifically in a meeting. That's what 152.013 says. You set each individual elected official's salary. Y'all 5 men. And I will admit, it puts y'all in somewhat of an awkward situation that you're setting your own salary. But that's the way our government has been created, and I think in their good mind, it's not just one person setting that salary. There's 5 of you. And I think that's what needs to be. Y'all have a meeting, set that salary, and agree on it. Anyway, that's all I have to say. I think the same thing should also apply on these item number 13 today, which is about the insurance for retirees. And you might want to consider that if you're all going to do that, you might want to consider if you're going to call out specifically whether it's for employees or employees and elected officials. Okay? Just saying it's for employees ain't going to cut it. That's going to wind up in court somewhere. That's all I have to say today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCumber. I don't have any more to add. Anybody else want to speak before we get started? We'll move to number 5, announcements and possible discussions of items of public or community interest for which no action will be taken. I think Mayor Wood.
Thank you, Judge. The City of Point Blank is going to have their food truck tomorrow. So we normally get started at 8:30 to 9, and by 11:30 they'll be closed down.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have any announcements? DECOG, the Solid Waste Committee on DECOG met last Thursday, and we have sent the applications out for the solid waste grants, which I have put on the agenda for October the 2nd to pick a project and apply for the grant. So just duly noted, that's coming up pretty quick. Anything else? On item 5, we'll move to 10. Consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the resolution authorizing the county grant program the year 2025 for Cleveland senior citizens. Anybody here from Cleveland senior citizens? So normally we give the county gives the senior citizens all 4 precincts currently $12,000 apiece to do their feeding of the meals and helping the seniors. So they have to have us as a county they have to have us enter into a resolution that we're going to fund them so they can get funds from DECOG and other sources. So that's what this is about. Anybody else on 10 have any questions?
Just for transparency to point out that the Cleveland Center represents part of Precinct 1, 2, and 3. That's why it goes to Cleveland.
Well, I thought I made it clear that there's four precincts contribute $12,000 apiece. Precinct 1 and 4 contribute to Precinct 1 senior citizen. Precinct 2 contributes to Precinct 2 and Precinct 3 to Cleveland. So.
I'll make that motion.
Second. motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner McAnally. Any more comments or questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. It passes 4-0. I think we have some signing in there. Do you have original? I do not.
I just have what I printed.
I just got a copy.
Yeah.
Two pages.
That's all I've got.
You want to sign that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you choose it. She didn't leave her package.
You want mine? It's centered.
We'll move to number 11, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the interlocal cooperative agreement with the County of Jasper for jail services. Bradshaw?
That's for when we need to sign so they can bill us for the 6 days that they housed our inmates when Polk asked us to move them, and we were in between Louisiana and Polk.
Said it's just for the 6 days, I guess, that we had to use when Polk County cut us. How are we coming on the jail? Has anybody called the jail commission to see if we're on target for getting ours back up to speed?
We are not.
We are not.
We're waiting for them to finish the roof.
Okay.
Because as they're working on the roof, we're having more damage done.
We got an update on the transfer switches. It's supposed to be on October 22nd, but that still doesn't, I mean, you still manually flip them. So, and I talked to the man this morning over there, and he said he's looking at the weather holes up maybe 2 or 3 weeks, he'll be finished with it. It's going good. So, he made sure the jail commission is ready to go.
Comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Item 12, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve the replacements on the Central County and the early voting ballot board. Ms. Walker? How's it going over there? We ready?
Busy, busy, busy. If we could just keep these positions, then it'd be great. So I'm asking for approval on the two nominees to fill in.
Not yet.
I don't need it.
Not yet.
So the names are Annette Nairmore, Central County, and Vicki Willis.
Yes, sir.
The early voting board.
Thank you.
motion by Commissioner McAnally, a second by Commissioner Brandon to approve Annette. Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know how to say it either?
I don't.
Larry Moore, I'll say, and Vicki Willis. Any more comments or questions? A show of hands of approval. Aye. Passes 4-0.
Thank you.
You want this signed? You want to take it with you?
I'll give it to us. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip 13 because it's going to be rather lengthy, and I'm going to move to 14. Consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve on July the 10th, 2024 agenda request went to Commissioners Court to Santa County Masters Gardener Organization as an affiliate of Texas AgriLife Extension is asked to use the county property located on along Live Oak and West Pine Street to create a teaching demonstration garden.
Great idea.
See attached 4-page letter.
Great idea.
4-page letter coming.
Commissioner Morris, excuse me. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Benestani.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Benestani.
Thank you, sir. And whatever else. Can't do anything with that. But anyway, first of all, I want to say I'm glad to see you all with the flag. And I've had a chance to visit with Commissioner McAnally. And I know he's been involved with some problems, so I appreciate him being here. He and I have been working on this project for a while. I look back at my notes. We've been talking about this since February or even before. Probably November when we had a meeting with the community. First of all, I want to introduce Carl Lee, who is one of our neighbors. Carl's been working on this very fervently with me in a committee. There's about 8 of us. So one thing I found in my past experiences, you get a good committee, you get a lot done, because they will do the work and help.
You're telling your secrets.
Oh, no. I always try to surround myself with people smarter than me. It's smart. Many counties in Texas provide property, county property, for the master gardeners to develop demonstration gardens. Our mission is education. It's always been education. Along that comes beautification. But we want to help other people learn to do gardens. We have experts in many fields in that group. You must commit to the first year quite a bit of volunteerism in the county in which you're trained. And on Tuesday, we have 18 new interns coming. We're now we'll be up to almost 60 members, which is a very large group for a small county. We win state awards. We just got second in the state of Texas for the Junior Master Gardener program that we've had. People of like size, and that's a big deal. So we're excited about that. I came in July and spoke with some of you with Laddie's permission and guidance about possibly seeking some property near here. And excuse my little third grade drawings, but you should have gotten, my draftsman was busy doing something else for me. So he was setting a porch and some land. He couldn't do it, so I had to do it. So you've received these hand drawings of our concerns and what we'd like to do. And then also a better description of where the properties were located. Because that was kind of mishmash when we were talking in July, and I wanted to be real clear about what we're talking about, because it is quite a committal on our part as well. And as you can see in my letter, which I apologize that I didn't physically sign, but I have indicated there are 3 properties. These properties are located right here where we're standing, basically. One of the green areas right behind the shelter, where the roofing materials are laid right now. So I realize that, you know, that's still a very active piece of property. The Esplanade between Live Oak and then the property down West Pine, and that has a frontage of about 40 feet, and it's estimated we would like to go back 300 feet. If you looked at the letter, first of all, we have to do a lot of infrastructure plans, getting back with you that we think that there's water available, and obviously we'd have to do sewer to that, and then electricity available already at the properties. Just how we would get it to those would be something we'd have to go with, but it's available. We, as I talked about, you have to do a very infrastructure plan. Now, I'm estimating 3 to 6 months on that, just on these two properties. It would be at least a year. The large piece of property, the 40 by 300, would become the real demonstration garden where we would have all kinds of different things going. These two properties, basically, and I hate to say this word, but it would be like a beautification project. Our concern, once we rethought about the properties, it backs up to the jail. So we made any kind of structure there open because of security issues. You know, I spent my last 7 years in prison, and I always like to say that I actually could leave every day. But I understand security, especially around that structure. I don't want anything where an offender could leave and hide or whatever. So we've just put a real pretty area right here in our plan of a little cinder walking path with, and we use the term gazebo, but it'd be more like an open structure where you could sit there and haunt and if you wanted to spend some time. We know that the shelter, when people have to come to the shelter, it's a traumatic event. It would be nice for them to have a place just to walk out there and think and see beautiful things because their lives are turned upside down. Secondly, we talked about it because the trees are there. There's one tree that's going to have to probably be taken down, but there are three pine trees that have been there a long time in the Esplanade, in that section there. And we have been doing some study in the last year on what they're calling, it's more like a cottage garden, but it's a garden where there's just wildflowers blooming. If you don't take a lot of care of it, you plant wildflowers seasonally, and it's just beautiful. I mean, it just looks like flowers. So we thought that would be real pretty, not a lot of upkeep, easy to do in that section. And then lastly is phase three. That would be our big demonstration project. We do all kinds of gardening. We do raised beds in the ground gardening. We do xeriscape, which takes less water. And what we would do as we develop those is teach other people how to do that. Have open days. And also, we're real strong on getting a child's garden area. We do a garden at the intermediate school, but that only usually affects, as far as working, the third grade. And we think we could do classes here for children to learn to garden. I still see people in Brookshire that go, oh, you're the lady that taught me how to do this and made me eat cauliflower when I was in third grade. So junior master gardeners would be great getting other children besides just third grade involved. We could do a junior restoration, child's garden there. Are there any questions? Or let me answer questions because I know there are probably some.
On lot one and two that you've got drawn here, before y'all would be able to start, as the public may or may not know, from that stop sign all the way around to 150, that all belongs to the county. So the county would need to figure out kind of a preliminary plan of what we're going to do with the road coming around for the future before you designate exactly where these beds would be right here by the tree.
Absolutely.
Just for the public's information. Because the city is not responsible for the street right here behind the shelter or between the new building.
Yes, sir.
We own that. The county owns that and is responsible for all of that street. So that's just one thing that we need to think of.
Yes, sir.
So you would not need sewer on those two sites, right?
No, I don't think we'd need sewer. We definitely need water, obviously, but no, we shouldn't. The only one that probably needs sewer is number three, which is West Pine. And as I said, I think that won't be a problem, hopefully. There's people already on that side of the street where we could maybe tap into that. We could ask the city to help.
Number one, it's got water to it.
Well, yes, it does. There's
yeah,
water
right
and
there.
Already. And electricity, actually. Mm-hmm. I think you can get to the one.
Right.
So, I mean, phase three is a while off, as you
know. No, it's it. Yeah. As I put on your next year, canvas structure development, and then another 2 to 3 years for development. It's going to take long. That's why I said it's a committal from the master gardeners as well, because it's, when they are functional, it will take a lot of work to maintain them. And that's, you know, one of my things is, as the president, Bree Dunn, I used to be, I was your initial president, I've been doing this now another year and a half, is that, guys, we're gardeners, we need to get out and garden. And I know you've seen at the community center, the three gardens there, and we've maintained that now for about 9 years, 8 years. And so this would be an opportunity to do different types of things. We're very limited at the community center. So that would give us a better place to garden.
There's one thing on three that I might say, if this goes forward and the court's in agreement with it, the bid on three would need to go ahead, and I have told Miss Judy that I would underbrush and get that somewhat where it could start decaying and be in better shape when they started a year from now.
Thank you, yes, for sure.
So do we need committal on three today, or can we just go ahead and give you committal on one and two and let you move forward, and then let him clean up three, what you want, and look at it and make sure that's going to be adequate? Or do you want all of them today?
Well, we will take what you give us.
Yeah.
But I would like a, you do not have to bring Ryan in, but just I want to know whether you really want us to do it or not. Because that's what I tell the judge when we're here, and the judge and I have talked as well. You know, we can't go forward in budgeting. We got a lot of things to do to be able to, if you notice, I had to put perimeter fence around three, and that's going to cost a bunch of money. Because we're going to have to protect whatever's there, obviously, for vandals or whomever. Right. Also make it safe. Because if you're walking around in those trees at 4 in the afternoon, you want to be safe, you know, if you're out there doing the walking trail or whatever. Because we're doing the walking trail for puppies. But we'll take what you'll give us, Commissioner Pro Tem, and work to do that. And we would love Commissioner McAnally to walk with us and talk about which trees we'd like to save. Because there's some beautiful trees in here, which we need to get. What we've got to do to get going. It's your choice.
And I was just talking about getting it all underbrushed so we could
see what's there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But if we commit to them today and then the court decides later we want to build a building, we don't want to tie us down to not being able to build something on the property.
And we understand that. We have gone into this very, with our eyes wide open, that this is your property. And it hasn't happened in other counties, but if it were to happen, then we would readjust.
So if we did give you all three sites today formally and we decided to take three back, it wouldn't be an issue. We could find another spot.
Yes, sir.
All right. You good with that?
I'll make that motion.
Sorry. Who would you say?
David.
There's a motion by Commissioner Mars, a second by Commissioner Brandon to formally give Master Gardeners site 1, 2, and 3, which is depicted on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? Show a hand of those four.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be getting with Mr. McNally
thank
for
you.
The discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank y'all for what you do.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Consideration, discussion, and possible to approve the repair on State Highway 150 at Winters Bayou Gauge per our O&M agreement with Sanderson River Authority for an estimate of $20,000. The facility flood emergency warning system infrastructure fund was passed on 11/16/2023, was damaged on 11. What was 11/16 for?
That's when we approved.
That's when we passed it. I thought that's what it was. It was damaged in the past flooding we had. Reimbursement has been applied for with FEMA to get the reimbursement for the $20,000. So, Commissioner, what are you actually asking?
Well, what we need to happen is the bridle and all the components that went with it was washed away. So we're working on the DI now to complete it, but in order to complete it with the River Authority, because our O&M has obtained the maintain agreement, in order to do that, we need the approval that the county is responsible for, which we are because it's what the O&M is, formally adopted so that they, River Authority, can order the components to repair it so we can complete the DI so FEMA can reimburse us.
So basically, we have to approve this to be fixed so that we can get the parts ordered to fix it and then claim it on FEMA to be 100% or 75% reimbursed.
75%.
All right. Well, I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Commissioner McEnany, a second by Commissioner Morris. Any more comments or questions? All those four, raise your hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. 13, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve the retiree paid insurance policy.
I just want to start off by introducing Andrea Walker. She's here from TAC. She's going to go over the sewer plan with you, which is the after 65, once you are able to get on Medicare Part A and B. She's going to go over that part of the insurance with you, and that's going to also affect the last page on the policy.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Fine.
Thank you for having me today. So I wanted to go over the County Choice Silver program with you. The County Choice Silver program, the insurance company that we use is Transamerica. The program is administered by Amlin, so they're the ones that handle the billing, the customer service, any questions that you all may have about the Silver program. So there are three packages that we are going to be offering. It's package 1, 2, and 3. The richest of the package is package 1. It's Plan F with RX option 1. So that's the richest. It is a little bit pricier of the three options. However, the out-of-pocket that the retiree would need to pay ends up being minimal. So that's why it's a little bit more expensive. And I have the benefits for this. We also have to flip through and look through the medical Part A and B for the hospital and the medical. The next richest of the options is the Packet 3, and that is the G plan with the RX 1-1A. So that one is still rich, not as rich as the first pack option, but it is still rich for the retirees and the amount of out-of-pocket that they'll be paying. And then your third option is the package 2, which is the least rich of the programs. It's, however, it is more affordable. The retiree may end up needing to pay more out-of-pocket for like prescription drugs and prescription drugs for sure, and hospital visits. So just consider those three things. So first riches is package 1, then package 3, then package 2. So part of those packages, you get a Medicare Advantage plan. There is a Medicare Advantage plan, the high one, which still has very good benefits. It does combine the medical with the prescription option, which is fabulous for people, so you're not having to pay the, for example, you need to pay the medical with the prescription together. Does that make sense? So if you look at the medical, you're going to be paying, if you get the medical with the prescription, is $279.08 plus with the prescription, it's going to be $280.31. That's just as an example. So you will be paying for both of those. If you do choose a package for your retirees, the retirees have an option to choose out of the three. So you can do medical only, medical with prescription, or you can just do the Medicare Advantage plan. You can't kind of intertwine between the two packages. So if you choose package 1, you have to choose all of the options from package 1. Does that make sense? Please let me know if you have any questions. I'm trying to think what else. I want to hear some questions from you all just to make sure that I cover all of your bases to see what you all mean from me. What are the questions that you have regarding the program?
I got one question.
Absolutely.
Why would somebody whose sewer plan is for people 65 and over?
Mm-hmm.
Correct, okay. So why would a person, what would motivate a person who is 65 based on the other part of this plan go to TAC for their SSI benefit when they go out on the open market and get it quite a bit less expensive?
That's definitely an option. The retiree doesn't necessarily have to choose it, but the point of the County Choice Silver program is that it is rich in benefits. And so the retiree is paying less out of pocket. If you look at the benefit summary, like hospital visits are zero, equipment is zero, like there is a ton of benefits that would benefit the retiree than going out on the open market. The benefits on the open market may not be as rich.
Well, and this is where I'm at with it, okay? I'm not being argumentative, I'm just saying. What your price is and your plan, okay? I'm paying considerably, almost $100 a month less. And my deductible for a year is $180. And I pay no copays and got prescription drugs. What would motivate me to go with this plan here, which is astronomically high compared to what I pay?
I think it's more, if I'm answering your question correctly, still goes back to less out of, you know, the retiree paying less out of pocket for medical, for visits to the doctor. I get what you're saying, but it's more the retiree would be paying less out of pocket for going to the doctors and hospital visits. Am I still answering your question?
No, because I don't have any out of pocket.
I'm sorry?
I don't have any out of pocket, so I'll keep paying more.
I got you. So I think for County Choice Silver, it may not be a good fit for everyone, yeah. But this is
That was it. I just want to know what would be the benefit, because in this health policy here, basically what you're capping is 65, which not everybody's going to be able to retire at 65, so that's mm-hmm. the problem with the policy, because a lot of people just working now won't be able to retire until 70, but there's nothing here that addresses that. So
if I'm understanding your question correctly, so you still would have the option to get on County Choice Silver even after you're over the age of 65 years old.
Yeah.
So am I answering your question?
Yeah.
Okay, so even if you do retire, it is for everyone that's 65 and over.
So I think the question is if you're still working, then you don't need the silver because you still have county
Yeah, it wouldn't be any benefit.
You know,
you're
working
fine, but there's a lot of people who won't be able to retire at 65 because of the health until they're 70.
This is a smooth transition over from when you do decide to retire, you would have this option for you to choose. I'm not sure if I went over the billing options with you. There's three billing options for you all to choose from. There's direct bill, to where the bill goes directly to the county. Excuse me, it goes directly to the retiree, and they would just send the bill back to Amwins, who would collect the payment. You can do list bill, where the bill comes directly to the county, and the county will pay the amount in full for the retiree, but the retiree can reimburse them back. Or you can just pay for it all together, and the retiree pays nothing. Or you can do split bill, and what that is the retiree pays a portion, and the county pays a portion. You would set however you want it to be. So that's one of the things.
And you're talking about the premium, not the bill.
It's the premium. Yes, the premiums will come directly to the county. One thing that I do want to mention is there was a law that was put into place in 2022 for the Inflation Reduction Act. What that did was instead of having the retiree pay $8,000, if they end up paying $8,000 out of pocket, then they reduce that amount to $2,000, and then prescription drugs will be $0 out of pocket. It wasn't like that. That's one of the sweeping changes. It's going to cost the retiree less money, so they're not having to pay out of pocket for prescriptions once they hit that $2,000 out of pocket maximum.
So today, if we elect to pick just say I'm just number three plan, which is the best plan.
Plan package one is the best plan.
Package one. Mm-hmm. Oh, package. Okay. If we elect to pick package one and we decide to change it, is it like a calendar year change in January?
Yes, every January.
So we couldn't change it the following January?
Correct.
Or we would have the option this January to change it?
Right. Like, so you would choose one of the three packages, and then if there's something that you don't like or your retirees are not taking it, you do have the option to take another package during the renewals year that we have, which we just sent out the renewals for 2025. The goal would be to get y'all on to pack the Rift County Choice Silver program at the first of the year.
So y'all have been researching. What is it that you, the treasurer's office?
So, are you talking on my accounting towards silver?
Yes.
I've had discussions with Andrea in the past and reviewing all the packages, and from our discussions with the packages with the way they're combined, the package one, the rich package, I would recommend adopting only because that is including the medical and the prescription. Am I correct?
Right.
So that if the retiree is retiring, we're not making that decision that they only are offered medical or only offered prescription. They can, adopting that package one, they're getting that medical and prescription package so that they have both of those things as an option to them.
So package one, option three, you got that?
No, it would be just package one, right? Not option three? Yes.
So are you asking how it goes? You would choose a package, and under that package, the retiree has the option to choose one of the three options, which is medical only, medical with prescription, or the Medicare Advantage plan, which has the medical and the prescription together.
But they would have the option to choose.
Yes.
The county just can't say this is the one we want them to get.
Yes, yeah. And no. Like, if you choose package one and you want to steer your retirees to the Medicare Advantage plan, I don't see there being anything wrong with that, because I do have a county that currently does that. Because the Medicare Advantage plan is typically the amount that's enough for them to pay for the retiree to have the medical insurance.
And that Medicare Advantage plan does also include that next page about the Manage My Health, those other benefits and are included in that?
Thank you for bringing up Manage My Health. No, it does not. The county does have the option to add Manage My Health, which is an extra $10 per month per retiree. So with the Manage My Health plan, you get the option to, or the retiree has the option to get like hearing aid services, food delivery services, identity theft protection, and things like that. So if it's something that you want to offer to the retirees, that you can do that, but you can't cancel it in the middle of the year if the retiree is required to take it once you select that option until the next year if you decide to drop it.
But those extra benefits, I just want to make sure I'm understanding clearly, that comes with the Medicare Advantage package one.
Yes, Medicare Advantage plan does have a lot of those options from the Manage My Health. So.
I guess each county, how many counties do you have that actually offer the Advantage plan to you, roughly?
I believe there were 86 people that have the Medicare Advantage plan.
86 people?
There are 86 people that are on the Medicare Advantage plan, but we have 96 counties that are on this particular plan. So I'm sorry, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but I will definitely find out.
So the cap on the package one, the total price is going to be what with?
What page are you looking at?
I'm looking at the package one.
Uh-huh.
What is the total price going to be if we elect package one and the senior supplement plan F?
What's the total amount going to be?
The premium.
So if they choose the medical only plan, it would be the $279.08. I probably should have added the medical and the prescription together before I got here, but it would be the $280.31 plus the $279.08. Grab my calculator real quick if needed, but so that I think that comes at around $560-570. And then the Medicare Advantage plan is by itself. The retiree is not required to take the Medicare Advantage plan with the prescription because you don't need to do that because it only embodies their medical and the prescription, if that makes sense.
But that would be their option if they wanted
to. Correct. That would be their option.
So right now, we just need to elect one of these packages, and then it's going to be paid for by retirees, so it's going to be no cost to the county. We're just giving our retirees an opportunity to get this if they want it.
Correct.
Maybe nobody may even want it. Mm-hmm. But they cannot get it unless we elect this today, some kind of plan.
You can do split bill too. I know that was kind of a discussion to where you can do split bill as well to where,
yeah,
let's just say you only wanted to pay $100 for the retiree.
Today we're not the retiree is going to pay for it all today.
Okay.
That may change later, but that's not going to happen today. So we just want our retirees to have an opportunity to get this.
Yes.
It's like a safety net. For some people, it may be more affordable to go on the open market. I think these plans are pretty rich, so, you know, it's, you know, you have the benefit summaries there that kind of explain what the retiree would be paying out of pocket, which I saw a lot of zeros on there.
Yeah.
So, Jay, Pro Tem, you just made a statement that what we were going to pass today would be for the retirees that's retired. Is that correct?
It would be for any retirees that, yes, I think past retirees could sign up for this. I suppose. How does the policy?
Well, let me correct that.
This is a three-part section, so this is just the very last part of it. There's a lot of other things that come into play that y'all would have to decide on. This is just to kind of inform y'all on the last part because we had not discussed that yet.
Well, does it get to the part before the horse?
Somewhat. We just didn't want to.
You know,
somewhat, so if she had to leave, she'd go ahead and do that or whatever. So this is just to inform you
all. Well, so all we're doing here is just giving the option somebody who chooses to elect it, because actually,
correct.
Actually, in reality, what it needs to involve, and I think that's maybe part of what you're going to, is the person's not going to know how much money they've got to spend. I would have a very difficult time trying to vote on something that's going to cost somebody $500 or $600 a month if they're only getting $2,000 a month in retirement. That's
I agree.
An individual choice. They can go on the open market and make themselves. They don't need this.
Do we have anybody that's retired that's on the regular plan as we speak today? As we think we do?
We do.
Are they 65? Could they go to this plan if they wish?
There's some of them that are pretty close to it.
So I mean, we have people paying the regular premium. Today,
Maybe they're paid
when they get
on their paycheck, it's being deducted out of the paycheck.
No, they're retired.
They're retired.
They have the option to, when you retire, you have the option to stay on our insurance, but you have to pay it in full.
Well, that's law. You got to offer that, at least for 18 months.
Yes.
Can I clarify something that you said? This is going to be for, if you have retirees that have already retired, they would not be eligible.
They would not qualify.
Yes, it has to be people that are retiring, like 65. Your retirees that are turning 65 moving forward.
So anybody move forward?
So do you want to move to this?
So how many would this even apply to from what conversation she just said? How many would it apply to?
Right now?
Who's 65 that's about to retire? That it'd be eligible to?
It wouldn't affect me because I don't take insurance anywhere.
No.
I've been paying my own for all. As a matter of fact, if I get $80,000.
At that point, we'll move you to this document right here if you want to look at, and it has five.
Five individuals?
That are eligible if they choose to retire.
There is one.
We're not predicting retirement.
Huh? Yeah,
maybe.
He's 65. Yeah. He's
eligible. Daddy?
Hmm?
Rosie? I got a list right there.
I know. I only looked at it by the same time. Rosie? I think there's something like one of them or none of them.
So at that point, thank you. I'm going to move over to the next section. I want you guys to look at the second one. It looks like this. I want to talk about, I had a lot of questions about how is this going to be funded, how are, you know, are the taxpayers going to be hit hard for it, and that's not what we're asking. Your graph shows reimbursements that we've received from insurance, unemployment, and workers' comp. All of them are started at the year 2020 and moved to 2024. We have not received any money back from 2024 yet. But if you look at the year 2020, just in those three categories of reimbursements, that means money that has went out that you paid your taxes on and we didn't use it, so it came back. So we're not asking to bring up your taxes or ask any more money. This is reimbursements that you've already paid on. So in the year 2020, we collected as a reimbursement of those three entities, workers' comp, unemployment insurance, over $211,000. In the year 2021, over $62,000. COVID hit. The year 2022, over $82,000. In the year 2023, over $95,000. This plan that we are presenting to y'all will be paid for just in these three reimbursements.
The 2025 sheet, if you look there, these are the 2025 and 2026 predictions for the future. This is going to be a listing of our current employees that are eligible and that would meet our potential policy to be able to retire. You'll see some of those rates are going to be a little bit different. One, just the 400 was just the guess to go towards the County Choice Silver. And the other is going to be the county insurance, the medical plan currently for county employees. So if they were to retire for these eligibility, at the worst case scenario, that bottom number is the 84,811.20.
So that's worst case. That means if everybody just retired at one time, the worst case scenario is.
So I thought it was a 109 on that one, when they bridged the time.
That was the predictions that Orlando had that were back and forth, but once we went through and truly change the columns the way the spreadsheet was working, that's not an accurate number.
I'm sorry.
This is not for certain that anybody will. We're not predicting dates. We're just showing the potential of worst case scenario for 2026. And say no one that's eligible in 2025 doesn't retire and they wait until 2026. That next number is the 54,405,60, so that everything will just move forward to the 2026. And those numbers would then be added together as we move forward in the current year.
Well, that's not everybody in 26. That's just the new people in 26.
Right, because we don't know if or when they will retire. So at that current time, we would have to just move those people that didn't retire to the current and then do a new prediction for current years.
Mm-hmm. So I've got two questions. First question, all of the rebates that you just read off, can you tell me, you said there was rebates from workers' comp.
Yes, sir.
What else?
Unemployment.
Unemployment.
And insurance.
And insurance. Okay. That question's been answered. My next question is, what part of that, and there's 4 years that you just read off, how much of that workers' comp, insurance, and the unemployment, how much of that comes from Road and Bridge and hadn't been reimbursed?
So you have asked that question before,
yes,
and we had contacted TAC because we wanted to see what it belonged to. And basically, what they explained to us is it all goes into one pool, and then if we don't use it, it gets brought back to us, but they can't decipher who used it and who didn't. But the other question that you may have is, Road and Bridge is Road and Bridge is Road and Bridge, correct? So when you pay for this insurance or workers' comp or unemployment, it goes out. But guess what? When it comes back in, it goes into the general fund.
I understand all
yeah.
that.
So
but
this
I'll
is,
ask you a question.
I cannot answer it. We have asked them,
okay.
And they could not answer.
Okay.
They could not
so
answer
let me go. Let me go a step further for the public information. Road and Bridge money can only be spent
right.
on Road and Bridge.
Right.
Now, we've got some more issues in our county on money that's
yes.
bundled together that I would like to get straightened out before this budget year ends
mm-hmm.
or shortly after. You cannot take my money and do with it what you want to, because I have not given y'all authorization.
Yeah.
The court has not said we will take this money and pay this insurance.
No,
I'm
you
not.
Haven't. You haven't. This is just one of the options that we have.
Okay, so what is our next option?
But as it stands right now, it goes back in the general fund because they can't tell us how to split it out.
I understand, but there is a way. There is a way. So my next question is, if this is not the way it's funded, what's our next option?
Well, I think the next option would be, and I've talked to the auditor and I've talked to the previous auditor about this. So each year we budget X amount of dollars for health benefits. That's in, like, the budget we're fixing to start. And I'm just grabbing this out of it. We may budget $500,000 for just health premiums
mm-hmm.
for next year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, we may only use $430,000 or $450,000 of that. My proposal would be all that would roll back in to fund this. That's where my proposal comes in. I mean, it wouldn't cost any new money. It would all be stuff we'd already budgeted, and it would be coming back with the rebates that we're getting,
yes.
that we're not getting credit for anyway, the Road and Bridge anyway. So,
but see, that needs to change.
Well, I agree.
We're spending the taxpayers' money out here, and if we've got rebates coming back, We need to look at the tax and go down on our tax. Damn, we can't just keep spending. You know, I'm not against the health. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against it. I am against the way you want to pay for it.
So how would you perceive paying for it? That's what would happen.
That's why I asked the question. Yeah. Have y'all thought about what other route you can go? Because if we're getting money back, if we're allocating money in a budget line item that's not being used, then that money that's carried over ought to come off of next year's budget line item that you're going to plug in. Don't just keep, don't keep Joe Biden and just adding in, we'll just print more money, you know? I mean, that's my opinion, and it don't matter to me. I'm a taxpayer, and this is not going to affect me one way or the other, and I know everybody needs health care, but I tell you what I am against. I'm against you being able to retire at 50 years old and the county steady pick up part of your insurance until you're eligible to draw Social Security. Because I can tell you there's a lot of the younger generation that won't draw Social Security until they're 70 years old. And I don't want to be pinned with another 20 years of paying taxes to fund somebody's insurance. If they're 50 years old and going to retire, they need to continue working somewhere. And I'm seeing the part in there where if you go to work somewhere else, then it stops. I understand that, but I'm just one vote myself. But I want to clarify for the next commissioner that's coming in a lot of things that I have dug and found out that it's been going on business as usual, and that's the way we've always done it. That mentality's got to go. And no disrespect to that.
Since I've become treasurer, I have to let y'all know of the money that y'all didn't know was there.
But so. I just, there's a lot of things. Road and Bridge money is standalone. We're a standalone arm of the county. We get a tax for Road and Bridge. We save our money. We do have a fund balance that it goes back into that we can draw again.
So y'all would have to decide on that if you're going
here.
Y'all would have to decide when that money comes in how y'all want to split
but
it.
But I want you to tell the public that I want you to tell the public the answer from you because you're in the office. So I mean, I've been in office 12 years and I've never got a refund. I pay all the workers' comp, all the insurance, all the Social Security. Everything out of precinct one's budget, and I have never got a refund, and I don't pay all that money, and I've never got a refund.
Well, you had asked a couple of years about that money, and you did look into it, and it has never been brought from the court for y'all to decide how to split that money up. So the next section of this would be going over the policy on how we would implement this. So it's this one right here. So it starts off of saying you have to be a full-time employee, whether your employment's paid by grants or federal or state or other local governments. You have to be a full-time employee here. There's two options, and we put two different options because some people come to work for the county at a later date and they're much older. The first option is 16 years of service at the age of 60. Most people come here, the women, because their husbands make more money and they do provide their insurance. So there's a lot of variables in that of why people work for the county. But we are asking to do this to bring back good employees and have a benefit for them. The second one is the 20 years of service at the age of 15. And again, you have to, if we bridge it, you have to be back here for 8 years.
So I had an employee ask the question before you get too far. If you're not going to qualify, what triggers you being able to qualify for the retirement supplement that we just talked about?
The after 65?
I don't know that we put that. I don't know if we talked about
that. So I believe that's going to be under the non-eligible employees, the 7.13. So this is going to be looked at as you are eligible to retire and you're retiring from the county, but you may have not met, you missed it by one of these two eligibilities that Dee was talking about. So you become non-eligible, so that section comes into play, and that you have been a full-time employee and you are retiring. You may still elect the plan, but that premium would be solely up to them to pay to the treasurer's office.
I just wanted to make sure that a retiree could buy the supplement, even though they retired, they're not eligible for the plan if we get it, regardless. I just want to make sure. So no age limit? Oh, well, you got to be 65 to get the supplement anyway.
They're going to be eligible to retire. They just may not meet the service time or the particular age that is in the eligibility that's on the front page.
Does that clear your question?
What's the retirement age, though? Do I have to be certain?
Well, and that's what 65. I can say, because this is all based on 65. The law has changed. People in this room, employees, is not going to be able to retire.
But we have the option to change that as it changes. Right now, it's 65, so that's what we put in the policy.
Well, it should
if that
say,
changes,
it should say 65 or 70, whichever applies. It shouldn't be 65, is what I'm saying.
Okay, we can do that.
My question, though, was, say if I wanted to leave at 56, can I continue to pay my insurance past 18 months of COBRA? And that's my question. It won't cost the county any money. I will pay everything, but I still would have to pay the insurance. I still have to do out.
So you're saying you don't meet those criteria?
Right.
Still with the county, which is now, is once you retire, and you still can pay your own insurance.
But you don't have to retire, I think is the question. And you don't have to have a certain age. If she just decided to quit next week and she wanted to continue her insurance,
she
could still pay her insurance?
So Cobra allows for that. That's the
Cobra does, but only 18 months.
Yeah, that's right. And that's all in the end. You want to put this on. But then they'll be on the hook for the total amount.
Yes, yes.
Which is very pricey for you all.
I've given up. But I think they said we have two right now that are doing it.
So,
well, you may have two that's doing it, but you got, say, for instance, on mine. Okay, since 2017, I've never used the county insurance. I've saved $80,000 to the county. Okay.
That's admirable, too.
So how do you accommodate for that? For those people that don't take the insurance but maybe want to be part of this other plan coming in, and you got a 65-70 variance in there that's not addressed in here, it's going to make a big difference.
We got several employees in here, and I'm not even going to ask to show a hand, but I would like to know, I wanted to put in a $2,000 raise this year for all employees. All employees that's here, would y'all rather have a good raise every year or an insurance plan?
Well, I think it's at the age of what you ask them, because for the most ones that are young, they want the $2,000 raise. The ones that are older want to look for their future and understand that they will have insurance when they leave this county. Am I correct?
Yep.
Well, I'm telling you that insurance don't hold employees as much as money does.
Most of the people that work here are here because of insurance, not because of the pay. Because they can go elsewhere and make more money. But I'm going to go back to the policy on this. In here we have put on the first page what the county will pay for on this policy. So your regular part, just when you retire, not the silver part. Right now we have the county pay at $844.60. And if that policy goes up, it's up to the court whether they want to go up on that or stay at the $844. So if it goes up, then the employee would have to, or the retiree would have to pay that difference. Does that make sense?
If the court doesn't decide to pay it.
Huh?
If the court doesn't decide to pay it, that's going to be, you're asking, that's going to become an annual revolving door for increase.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
That's up to the court to decide. On the second page, we're going on dependent coverage. Spouses and dependents that are already on their coverage when they retire will can still be on the coverage. They will just have to pay for it out of their own pocket. If the retiree becomes deceased, then from that point on, they can be put on the coverage, put on COBRA, and that existing coverage is for 18 months on COBRA.
But on COBRA, they pay the full amount.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you're my dependent when I retire and I die, then you will be put on COBRA.
If they want to.
If they want to.
If they want to.
All of this is if they want to.
Yeah, because COBRA is usually, when you go to full amount, it's not going to be how much you deducted out of it, how much the county pays. It's going to be
what the
full value.
Even for the dependent, the county's not paying for that.
That's correct.
That's out of their own pocket.
Huh? Very right.
On the next session, it just says that any overage that the county does not pay for will have to be paid by the employee, and that is paid monthly. And if they, once the payment is not received, then that insurance will be terminated, and they will not be able to get back on it.
Break in service is just merely there if the employee, say, is here for 3 or 4 years and then separates from the county and then they choose to return back in a couple years when they're able, that prior service and current service will be added together and to help calculate their eligibility, meeting those requirements at the first page.
Well, I thought that the other part of this was they'd have to be back 8 continuous years. So
of course,
service.
Yes. They
right.
would still be
yeah.
those requirements, but just any time served as a full-time employee prior will be counted as long as they have then had the 8 continuous years. Yes, sir. And then we've already covered the non-eligible employees. Any one that does not meet the requirements under 7.12, they can still choose the county to continue their policy just by paying those premiums themselves. And of course, that will depend on what age they choose to retire. If they are pre-65, it would be the $844.60. If they are post-65, then if we have that county choice silver as a choice for them to review as a retiree, we can offer them that, or they can choose to get a supplement elsewhere. And of course, all those premiums will be paid monthly to the treasurer's office upon the due date, and if they don't, then of course it's terminated and they're no longer eligible. The next section is going to be under the forfeiture of health benefits. This is to help if someone was to retire, they have chose the benefit, but later on have decided to return to the workforce and become a full-time employee with another employer. If they do that, that would forfeiting.
If they provide insurance.
Yeah, if they provide insurance.
What happens if, because you're basing all the payment premium off these, you're paying these, supposedly paying these premiums off of these surplus distributions, correct? What happens if you don't get
We're just showing you what we have done previously. And even in our COVID year, which was a big hit to the county due to unemployment and insurance, you know, because a lot of people went to the doctor in our lowest year. In our lowest year, we still made $62,000. And we even looked further back. It goes further back. We just gave you the last couple of years. So then the last page comes to the senior health plan.
The senior health plan, this is the plan that Ms. Andrea was talking about, the plan that we would like to be able to offer our county retirees at that point. They're retiring, but they're over the age of 65, is to give them that choice to choose one of those plans and offer them that. And we would like to have the county pay for that plan, and that would be the $400, and we put that number in there because we didn't know the exact amount of which those different plans cover, the 1, 2, and 3.
And y'all can still choose to change those numbers.
Right. And that would still be something that can be reviewed in court yearly on what those premiums are. So if it comes to a point that the county does not want to go over a certain amount, then they can choose to do that in that year and hold to that set. And of course, again, it just reiterates the premiums must be paid to the treasurer's office monthly and in a timely manner. And if they don't do that, then they are terminated and are no longer eligible to be reinstated. The next section, the forfeiture of health benefits, that's just reiterating the forfeiture if they choose to go and employ themselves as a full-time employee and are offered benefits, then they must forfeit the Sanchina County benefits immediately.
And again, those numbers are subject to change. That's up to the court, whether how much we pay on the regular retiree and the silver at any point in time.
So I would like to just table the policy until the full court's here, for one, but I would like to go ahead and pick one of these plans to offer our retirees, because if we don't do it, I mean, they don't have an opportunity to get the plan.
Right.
I'm not even saying check that the county's going to pay for it. Individuals will pay for their own.
Right.
But if we don't do it today or get it on for January, we're going to be out.
Well, I have no problem convincing down to that one.
Yeah. Well, it's on the back. If you look at the back of that page she gave us,
yeah.
You actually select which plan, and then it says paid for by employer or paid for by retiree. So you just check that box.
Yeah.
So we're not committing the county to any funds at this time. We're just selecting the plan for a retiree to be able to purchase.
Which plan do y'all?
I would like to go with package one. That's going to be the medical and prescription. And that also includes those extra benefits on that other page, Manage My Health.
So I was confused on that, because before when we talked about it, it wasn't quite the $400. But when she added them up, it was over $500.
Yeah.
So if they're separate and you add them together, but if you choose the package one, if I'm right, the package one is the $374.85. Or I'm sorry, the $392.96 for 2025.
No. So if you're going to, let me explain. I'll try to be a little bit more clear. So if you are getting the medical only, you're only doing the $279.08. If the retiree chooses the medical only, this is I'm only giving the example for package one. So if you're only doing the medical only, it's going to be $279.08. But if the retiree opts to do the medical with the prescription, it's going to be the $280.31 plus the $279.08. So that's medical and prescription. And then if they opt to do the Medicare Advantage plan, that's its own plan. The Medicare Advantage plan is the $392.96. Is that a little bit more clear now?
$392.96. Is which plan that?
That's the Medicare Advantage plan that falls under package one. I'm only giving the example for package one.
But they have the option to go, if we select package one, they have the option to do more.
So they're only going to choose medical only, if, and then they can go on the open market and get their prescription, the medical and the prescription under package one, or the Medicare Advantage plan. So you would choose one package, the retiree has three options under that one package.
So what's y'all's recommendation, Troy?
I think they're confused too.
Well, it's either take the medical at $279 or take the advantage at $392. That's your option. That's one of the two. You know, and they only got like 80 something, like 81 people on the advantage. But a lot of places don't do advantage. You know. So out of 80 some odd counties, you only got 81 people, and that's not a whole lot, is it? I think they confused them when they said two numbers.
Yeah, they did.
I said they're confused, think everybody else is.
Well, I mean, we got time to bring this back, too.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it before the budget.
Well, I don't have a problem taking this part of this, you know, my time frame. I don't have a problem, but I agree with the other part. Let's wake everybody in here. You know, because they still, this needs to be massaged. They need to add the stuff in there for the 70 and that stuff in there. That's just my opinion.
I get it. Same thing.
So, are you going to put a motion in there?
No. Table.
Table
it. All of it?
Yeah. Okay. Table all of it to eat.
So, can we figure that out and then come back?
Yeah, I think we just discovered that there's a page, a prescription page missing. When she created this, they just went through the process and adopted the rates and everything. So this was really rushed, so we're actually missing a page, and I think that's part of the confusion. So there's the rate that is just the medical, which we talked about, that number as being the $279.08, and then there's the next rate that we talked about, that we added the two numbers, the medical and the prescription, and then we're only seeing the Medicare Advantage, that next rate is $392.96.
So let me give y'all the numbers for the prescription. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So for package one, the prescription drug coverage is $280.31.
Package one.
For package two, the prescription drug coverage is $86.88.
How much 86 for?
88.
And then the prescription drug coverage for package three is $260.39.
And And that's got to be added to the 279, like yes. package one.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the 28031 would be added to the 27908 if they choose medical and prescription, and the 15545 would be added to the 8688 for the...
On the package two?
Yes.
And the package three would be...
26039 plus 25543.
52947.
That's what I was saying a while ago here.
Yeah.
And that was why my recommendation was the Medicare Advantage, the package one, the 39296, because it's both the medical and the prescription. And then bonus, we get the extra benefits on the next page that we don't have to take.
Well, real quick, that, if you add it to 279 and 280, that's not what the longer. That's more than what we're talking about.
Well, yeah.
So, on package one.
Can you repeat your question?
If you add 279 to 8031, that's more than what, you know, we figured right at $400, a little less than $400 for the whole plan.
Right, but that was, keep in mind that package one has got those choices, like she said, that retiree can choose out of one of those three things, either just the medical, just the prescription, or the Medicare Advantage.
Yeah. All right, well look, I don't think we're gonna get anywhere today. I got a motion by Commissioner Moore to table, and a second by
David
Brandon to table this item until we get a full court, and maybe kind of figure out exactly what, and poll the audience. I mean, figure out what the rest of the county wants. I mean, it's not, we don't want to be deciding this.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to everybody.
Well, we have talked to a lot.
And I'm talking about the senior plan.
You're talking about the senior plan?
Yes.
Okay.
I got a motion and a second. All those voting for, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're gonna move on. We do have an executive session item. Is the attorney here?
He was here. He just walked
right
there.
Yeah, I see him back there.
Yeah, he's.
It is
10:33.
10:33, and we're going to move an executive session to consultate section 551.071, consultation with the attorney regarding pending or contemplated litigation on or about a settlement offer.
11:06.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 11:06, and we're back. We're out of executive session and into regular session. We did discuss some litigation with our attorney. There is no actions needed to be taking place. So we're going to move to item number six, consider approval of claims. There was an issue with how we're paying for the jail inmates. Are we paying that out of some ARPA funds?
We're paying it with the tribal funds.
Which is part of ARPA funds.
Right? What?
But the tribal funds, they're the
LECTV.
Something like that.
Have we paid them before already, previously, before this court, and we just didn't get them?
Well, is that a part of our ARPA funds, though? Is that
we spoke with Ms. Brianna from Langford, and these are okay to be paid from there.
All right, so yeah, we get that. Well, we were under the impression we were going to try to reimburse from FEMA or whatever because of the storm causing the problems. And if we're already using federal money to get reimbursed, correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, they're not going to give us reimbursed.
If it's a duplication,
they're not going to duplicate it.
That's the problem.
Okay, so do you want me to move the expense?
I would verify with Brianna. Get her to send an email saying it's okay to use those tribal funds for that. So well, that we, if asked during an audit, because that's what's going to come up at when Tom Resnick audits. And when they do.
Because I talked to Jason said that he didn't think that the FEMA would cover these expenses. The only thing that it is going to covered the immediate possible move of the inmates at that at the time of.
So you're separating. So they're separating. Caroline, are we separating the move from the housing of the inmates on your DI?
I am not doing that DI. I did it for Rogue. For Rogue, Margie's got that DI.
So you're separating the move from the housing on the DI, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then that wouldn't be a problem.
It wouldn't be a problem. All right, we'll carry on then.
Is that a motion, David, pay the bills?
Yeah, I'll make it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Brandon and a second by Commissioner Morris to pay the bills. Any more comments or questions? All those in favor? Say aye.
Here you go, now, woman.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear aye from somebody?
Go ahead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't hear David.
Yeah. He made the motion.
Okay. What are you doing? It don't matter. I didn't hear it. Speak up.
Maybe if you sit in the big chair, you could hear.
I don't want to be in the big chair. You can sit over there. Number seven, consider approval of budget amendment and revenue certification.
Sir?
Second.
Can you hear it? I've got a motion by Commissioner McAnally and a second by Commissioner Brandon on the revenue certification. I just said the one, right?
Yep.
Yes, that's the only one I got.
Any more comments or questions?
There's another one came in late yesterday.
Wait a minute.
I had all this.
You should have had one in the first, and then I handed y'all some today that were sent out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was for Precinct 2.
Yeah.
JP.
Well, it's no revenue certification, budget amendment.
Yeah, just
right.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It passes 4-0. Number eight, consider approval of minutes of meetings. Regular meeting August the 7th, 2024. Budget meeting August the 15th, 2024. Monthly meeting August 21st, 2024, and budget workshop August 28th, 2024.
Was you here doing all
that? Sir?
Was you here doing all that?
I believe so.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I've got a motion by Commissioner Brandon, second by Commissioner McNally to approve the minutes. Any more comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
Hand those to Mark, please.
Number nine will be receive and consider approval of August 24 departmental report.
I'm missing.
I did not get a fire marshal and a veteran.
Emergency management? Did you get one?
I didn't get one from him.
I didn't know.
I got the one from Ag. He like just.
Did you get Ag? I didn't get it.
It came email. Okay.
Got a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
I've got a motion by.
Brandon.
Mr. Brandon.
Second.
Mr. McAnally. Uh-huh. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
Man, it's worked out thick.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Aye.
I have a motion by Commissioner McAnally, a second by Mr. Brandon, all the time.